Well, this is the month of love, and you can see that our church is decorated for that. Obviously, we think of Valentine's, and it's about romantic love, the love between a husband and a wife, or between a boy and a girl, and all that kind of good stuff, and families with children. But the love of God is an amazing thing to experience. And I trust this morning that all of you have experienced the love of God. Paul, when he was praying in Ephesians chapter 3, he said this, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length, the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Do you know that love? That word there, know, is a very intimate word. It's not just knowing about, it's knowing the love of Christ in your heart. Not just a head thing, it's a heart thing. I trust you do. Well, this morning we're going to talk about habits. And I'm sure that some of you have some bad habits you'd like to get rid of. Maybe you have some good habits. But we're going to look at some habits that we want to have in relationship to growing spiritually. So if you have a Bible, or if you just like to read it in the bulletin, please do. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 of 1 Peter chapter 2. They'll be up on the video for you if you'd like to look there. That would be fine. Beginning with verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Father, we thank you once again for your word. We know that it is a holy word. We know that it's truth. And Father, we aspire this morning. We desire this morning to know more of you through your word. So bless your word as it goes forth from this pulpit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's no such thing as instant spiritual growth. I wish I could take that box of Miracle-Gro that I use on our plants in the back foyer. Have you noticed how those plants are growing? Well, that's because about every other week I give them a teaspoon of Miracle-Gro. And Miracle-Gro is a wonderful thing for plants. And they just shoot right up. Wouldn't it be great as believers if we could just take a teaspoon of something and we would grow instantly? But that's not how we grow in our spiritual walk with the Lord. Spiritual growth is a lifelong journey where God draws us closer to Him so that we can grow to become more like our Savior Jesus Christ. At the core of this journey are disciplines that help us. There are disciplines that help us grow spiritually. These disciplines or habits aren't new. They've been around for thousands of years. So I'm going to talk to you this morning about some very basic habits that will help you grow in your relationship with Christ. Approximately 90% of what we do every day is governed by the habits in our lives. We're people of habits. We're people of routine. I don't know what your routine is this morning if you got up on Sunday morning and you said to yourself, well, it's Sunday, I got to go to church. Maybe some of you are here this morning because it's a habit. But I hope it's more than just a habit. I hope it's because of a relationship with a living God. Because if it's just you're just doing it for a habit, you're probably not going to get what you need to get out of it because you're not going to engage yourself like you should. So this morning, I'm going to give you some habits, good habits, concerning spiritual growth. The first one we find in 1 Peter chapter 2, I titled this, Daily Reading of God's Word. Oh, it's so important that we feast on the Word of God, that we take in the Word of God daily. Again, it says in 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, therefore laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking. Peter is writing to a group of individuals who have been dispersed. They've been scattered all over the Roman Empire because of persecution. Because of their identification with Jesus Christ, they are being persecuted. And they're suffering. They're suffering greatly under the hands of leaders and those who are opposed to Christ. And Peter wants to encourage them. And he wants them to grow in spite of all that's going to be wrong around them. He wants them to continue to grow spiritually in their walk with Christ. As newborn babes, this is the metaphor that is using, the illustration that is using. Isn't it great to hold a newborn baby? And we've had that experience here recently. It's great to be a pastor where babies are being born. Because if babies aren't being born into the congregation, that means we're probably a little bit past that stage in our life or older than we should be. Just a reality of life. Don't you love it when you hear a baby cry in the worship service? Don't you? Don't you love it when they take that baby out? I tell you, they're both really good. I love hearing a baby cry, but it's also nice when they can take the baby out that's crying too. But to hold a newborn baby, and I've had the experience here the last couple of weeks of holding a newborn. And you know that newborn baby desires one thing, and that's the pure milk of their mother. They desire that because they know they're going to grow by that, and they need it. This word desire is a word that I think most of us understand. Are you aware of all the things that we desire as humans? A psychologist put together many of these desires that affect our lives every day. The first desire, obviously, is food. I trust you had breakfast this morning. If you didn't, your stomach's going to be growling, and you're going to be saying to yourself, I hope the preacher doesn't have a long sermon so I can go eat. We desire food. We desire shelter, especially this time of the year. In 1996, we had a winter very similar to this one. Some of you might be too young to remember that. But I came to this church in 1995 in August, went into the fall and then the winter, and in 1996, in January and February, we set record lows. How many of you remember that? We actually broke a thermometer up on the Iron Range. 60, below 60 is all the thermometer went to, and it burst. It broke. That's cold. And we've had cold this last year. And I think many of you are feeling it, and you're wondering, will it ever warm up? Well, let me give you some hope this morning. It'll warm up by April. No, I'm not a weatherman. I don't know. I hope it warms up tomorrow, actually. But I don't want the snow to melt, because I like playing in the snow. I was talking to a group of kids the other day. I was leading them in music, and I asked them, how many do you enjoy snow? And they raised their hands and they said, we like to go out and play in it. And I looked at them and I said, so do I. Now here's the problem. If you don't love to play in snow when you live in Bemidji, it's going to be a long winter. You got to enjoy the outdoors. So get out and play in it. Don't just sit in the house. You're going to get cabin fever. And then you're going to say to yourself, I shouldn't live up here in the North Country because 6 months out of the year is winter. Well, if you had a different attitude, I know you'd have a different frame of mind about winter. I don't know where that fits into our message here, but I had to say that anyway. We're talking about desires, family, the need for family, the need for respect, the need, obviously, for love and order, a sense of order in your family, the need for physical activity, the need to be in control of your lives and not out of control. Romance. All right, guys. Our director, our gal, had put together the decoration here. That's what I meant to say. The gal that decorated the front of our church. She did everything possible in her power to communicate to you that husbands, it's Valentine's, and you need to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Husbands, are you paying attention? Some of you are nodding. So what do you need to do this week for your wife? Buy her a box of candy, chocolates, flowers, take her out to dinner, do something. I heard that they got rid of these little Be Mine. Remember those hearts, those little candy hearts? Isn't that terrible? I remember going to school and we would always exchange Valentines. I don't even know if they do that today. But I remember getting a lot of those from, especially those cute girls in the fourth grade. They said something like that, be mine, I like you. That was important back then. But I'm thankful I have a wife now that reminds me every day that she loves me. We have this little thing that we say to each other before we go to bed at night. She'll say, I'll say, honey, I love you, good night. She'll say, I love you too. And then I'll come back with, but I love you more. Well, I think we both love each other the same. Love is a wonderful thing to experience, especially this time of the year. We have social needs, fellowshipping with others, being out and about. And that's one thing we haven't experienced too much this winter because we've been confined to our homes because of the weather. But we have all of these desires. Can I ask you a question this morning? Do you desire God's Word? Do you desire it enough to pick it up and read it each day? Do you have a desire for the Word? I hope you do, because that's how God sanctifies us. His Word is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. God's Word is who God is. God has spoken His Word. God made everything by His Word. He spoke everything into existence. His Word is living and alive. His Word is powerful. And we want to open up the book because every time you do, God is going to speak to you through His Word. And so we need to have this desire. Do you always have that desire? Do you always? You look at me and you say, well, Pastor, you have to have that desire because you got to get up every week and share the Word of God. There are days when maybe the desire lacks and I'm not as excited to open up the Bible. I've heard individuals say to me, well, I read it once. Do I have to read it again? And I say to myself, and I think to myself, and then I say to them, you remember everything you read? Are you aware that we only retain about 25% of what we read? That means we have to read and then reread it again. And the interesting thing about God's Word is that it's so alive that as you read it, maybe you miss it the first time, but when you read it the second time, God will speak to you through it. And you'll come to know something you didn't know through His Word. God's Word is about His grace. And oh, how we have a gracious God. Desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Peter is using another metaphor here. He's not saying that we actually take a bite of Jesus. Have you tasted Jesus? What he's saying is, you taste Jesus. You come to know Jesus as your Savior. And you experience His grace. And His grace is unbelievable. How He loves us, how He gives to us His grace, so rich and free. Grace, 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 grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, 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 grace that is greater than our sin, the old hymn writer said, and I believe that to be true. Have you experienced God's grace in salvation this morning? Is Jesus your Savior? Thank you. Thank you. Somebody's awake. You might have thought that was a rhetorical question, but I appreciate your response because it lets me know that you're listening. And Jen, thank you. Yeah. Jesus saves us. It's all by His grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's all about God's grace, so rich and so free, extended to us as we come to faith in Him. I've tasted, and I trust you have too, when I came to know Him as my Savior. And then he goes to 2 Peter, in his second epistle, to chapter 3, verse 18. And again, he's commanding, actually, it's an imperative mood in the Greek, which means that he's saying, this is what you need to do. You need to put again the Word of God in your heart, and you need to grow in a relationship with Jesus. In verse 13 of chapter 3 of 2 Peter, we read, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, understanding what He's done for us at the cross, how our sins are forgiven, and we're made new in Christ, and we become a child of Christ. It's all because of His grace, His great grace. And then knowledge. Knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Knowledge of our Lord and Savior. It's a personal thing. It's just not accumulating knowledge just so you can have facts and data. Rather, it's a relationship. And that's what this word know means in the Bible, that we come to know intimately Christ, know who he is, know what he's all about, as we have this relationship with him in a very personal way. Has anyone ever asked you this question? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know what they're asking? They're asking this. You may know about Jesus. You may have some information about Jesus. But do you know him intimately, personally, as your Savior? Because it's that type of relationship. You ask him to save you, and he will do that. The scriptures are very clear that if you believe on him, you will not be disappointed. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The Lord is gracious, and he's good. Oh, the Lord is so good. It says over and over again in the book of Psalms, the Lord is good, and he's good always. It says, too, at the end of Psalm 100 this. He said, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generation. The Lord is good. He's always good. As we understand who he is and what he is doing for us in our lives. I trust that you will read the Word of God. And let me give you some suggestions here this morning. We have purchased, our church has a lot of material to help you grow. One particular little booklet is Growing in Christ. It's a 13-week Bible study. I encourage you, if you are interested in growing in your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then sign up for this. We have many volunteers who will meet with you, and they will help you through this book. If you know Christ as your Savior and you've never gone through this, go through it yourself and then take someone else through it. It's foundational to your faith. It has 13 lessons, and they're very basic concerning your relationship with Jesus Christ. We have devotional material that is so important. I know that many of you use this daily bread, and we do have some more booklets on the back table. So on your way out this morning, if you'd like to begin this, I think it starts with March and April and May, pick up one of these devotional booklets, and you will read a little devotional, which is a story, and then a Bible verse, and usually a context. That's daily food for your spiritual life. And then we have keys for kids. And I know that some of your families have taken these and you're reading these to your children. You can't get a better little booklet than this for your family. It's going to have an interesting story. Again, it'll have a Bible verse and a context for you to read. You can even give these to your grandchildren. My granddaughter, Mackenzie, loves these books. And when she was with us the last time, she asked to have one. And unfortunately, we got her back to St. Paul area without one of these, but we do want to give them to our grandchildren as well because they're very instructional concerning their relationship with Jesus Christ. And then, for those of you who are into technology, do you know that you can get the YouVersion on your iPhone? How many of you have the YouVersion on your iPhone? Wow, and you can get it in any translation. What a blessing it is to have this wherever you are. And you can simply pull up whatever Bible verse you want to read. And then it also has devotional material on here too. If you want to have a plan to read the Bible through a year, or if you just want another type of devotional plan, it has that. So there's lots of aids here to help you in your daily reading of the Word of God. But if you're not reading it and pondering on it, you're not going to grow as a Christian. That's what Peter is saying here. That we need to desire the pure milk of the Word to grow. Secondly, daily prayer. And prayer is something that I think sometimes we're misinformed about. God isn't so concerned about your posture, your outward posture, as your inward heart. And you can talk to God at any time. It says in the Scriptures over and over again that we can come to the throne of grace, where we can receive help in the time of need and grace and mercy. So God is always available. He never has a busy signal. He's always inviting us to come and to talk to him as we pray and ask him to help us through this life, and especially in our relationship to grow. You know, David prayed consistently in the book of Psalms. And there's one psalm that I just want to share a couple of verses with you out of. It's Psalm 55. In 55, we believe that David is writing this, and David is under a lot of distress. He's under distress because he's been betrayed by a very close friend. It doesn't say who that individual is, but it was someone who was extremely close to him, and it was like he was stabbed in the back by this individual, and he was hurting greatly. And then as he continues on in this song, and is supposed to be sung to instruments, it's a maskel, which means it's a teaching psalm as well. And as he continued on in this song, then he cried out for God's justice to come down upon this individual. And then he began to pray. He began to pray for God's assurance in his life and that he was going to trust the Lord with this situation. But I'd like to read just a couple of verses out of this particular psalm. Verses 16 and 17. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry out loud, and he shall hear my voice. David was open with God, crying out to him in his time of need, not just once, but at least three times as he petitioned the Lord. And how we need to do that. We need to pray God, first of all, for our basic needs in life, but then we need to petition him also for others. We need to pray on behalf of others as we petition God for the needs of others around us in our life. And then in verse 22, we also read that he will never leave us. He'll always be with us, that we can trust in him because he is a God worthy of our trust. So daily prayer, talking to God, relating to God throughout the day. One of the experiences that I have right now is that every morning I get up, I thank the Lord for what it says in Psalm 3. He's the lifter of my head. So when I get up out of bed, I thank him for lifting my head and letting me get up. And then my day unfolds. And as the day unfolds, I remember that I need to praise him and thank him. And I hope you do that. So many of us don't thank the Lord enough. How many of you thank the Lord for this day already? I hope you thanked him for your breakfast, if you had breakfast. I hope you thank him for all the wonderful gifts that he's given to us. One of the sins of America is the sin of ungratefulness. Americans are sometimes very ungrateful, and I don't want to be that. I want to be an individual who's thanking the Lord for every good and perfect gift which comes down from above. Now, thirdly, third habit is regular giving. Giving is so important in our life. It really shows where our priorities are in relationship to God. God's given so much to us. God is a giving God. We learned that in our Sunday school class for parents. God gives and gives and gives. And his greatest gift to all of us is his Son. There's so many verses as you go through the scriptures about all that God has given to us. And one that all of us know is, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave. You know, God is always giving and giving and giving. He's a giving God. But God demonstrates his own love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He gives to us constantly in our lives. Now, there's a context here I want to draw your attention to, and it's in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. The Corinthians had promised to take a love offering for the believers who were suffering in Jerusalem. There were believers there in Jerusalem who were being persecuted by their own fellow countrymen, and they lacked money, resources. They weren't able to get jobs because of their identification with Christ. And Paul had been informed by the Corinthian church that they were going to take this love offering. And Paul wanted to see that they were following through with it. So in the ninth chapter of 2 Corinthians, he's really telling the Corinthians to come through with this, fulfill the promise. He's been boasting about them doing this, and so he wanted them to carry through with it. And then he teaches us some very important lessons about giving. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves when you give. The word here, cheerful, can also be hilarious. I don't know if you feel that when you drop your offering in the plate, hilarious. I hope you're cheerful. Do you realize that everything you have is a gift from God? Everything. Your life, your spouse, your family, your children. The Bible says children are a gift from the Lord, a reward from the Lord. Everything that you have has been given to you. You might say, well, wait a minute here, I worked for it. God gave you the strength to work for it. It says in the Bible that He gives us the very breath. He gives us the very breath of life. And without that, you wouldn't be very in good shape. We'd all be goners. God wants us to give. And you can never outgive God. Did you know that? I remember an old deacon in this church when I came back in 1995. His name was George Butler. And you know, there are individuals that say things that resonate with me and I don't forget, just like in your life. I'll always remember when I think about George Butler, he said to me one day, he said, Pastor, the Lord has a bigger shovel than you have. Remember that, Roxy? Did he say that a lot to you? He lived his whole life like that. The Lord has a bigger shovel than you have, meaning if you start shoveling, He's going to shovel even more your direction because it's a bigger shovel. Now, we don't have very big shovels right now for the snow, do we? Anybody getting tired of shoveling snow? Yeah, I am. And I thought I never would reach that point. But I've been having the experience lately of, I have a snow blower, so you say, well, Pastor, you're not shoveling snow, really. Well, I'm blowing snow. But you know, you start blowing your driveway in the morning, and then you got to turn around and blow it in the evening again because it snowed another 4 or 5 inches. And then being a neighbor, sometimes my neighbors have asked, well, they haven't really asked, but I volunteered. I think one of my neighbors asked me to blow his driveway for 3 weeks while he was down in Arizona or somewhere else on vacation. But then I've gotten into a habit of blowing out other driveways in my neighborhood. And I tell you what, this last week, I was totally exhausted from blowing out driveways. And I said, Lord, please don't give us any more snow. I've had enough. I surrender. I'm tired. I want to be a giver. I don't want to be a taker. How about you? You want to be a giver? I want to be a giver because our God's a giver. Regular giving is so important for us as a believer to let God know that the things that we are grasping, we're not holding on to. The Bible says, naked we come in and naked we go out. You don't take anything with you. I'm sorry. We can only put it on reserve in heaven because Jesus said, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but rather lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither rust nor moth destroy and where thieves don't break in and steal. You can actually send it ahead. Did you know that? You can do that. And then fourthly, the fourth habit that's so important for all of us this morning is fellowship. Again, I hope that you didn't come here purely out of habit, but it's a good habit. So even if you're here this morning and it's just a habit, I'm okay with that because you're here. But I hope more importantly you came because you love the Lord and you want to hear His word. I hope that's why you came and you wanted to worship Him. Because we need that. We're created to worship God. We're created to know Him. And yes, you can stay in bed on a Sunday morning and justify by saying, well, it's a day of rest. I don't know how many individuals have said to me, well, Pastor, didn't you know that on the seventh day God rested? I need rest. And I say to them, you can still rest. You can still get up in the morning, come and worship, and then you can go home and take your nap. Some of you are taking a nap right now. You don't need your afternoon nap. It's okay. We put out in a marquee once, have trouble sleeping? Try one of our pastor sermons. I had a guy walk up to me and he said, is that true? I said, come and Come and find out. Besides, I said, if a lot of these people, I mean, they just can't sleep at night. They get some of their best rest during a message. Finally, fellowship, how important it is, the habit of being in church and being in fellowship, not just in church per se, but with other believers. It says in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let us consider one another. See, the fellowship is all about others, not just about you. It's about considering others. Let's be considerate of others. In order to stir up, another word here is to stimulate or provoke in a very positive way, up love and good works. So when we come together, we want to provoke, stimulate, stir up love and good works among the church body. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Some folks have given up on church. Now, I don't blame them. I don't blame them. Because some churches are dead. Are you aware of that? They're just going through the motions. They're not excited about Christ. They're just there purely out of habit, alone. Well, what do you do on Sunday morning? Oh, I go to church. What do you get out of it? Nothing. Well, why do you go? Habit. I think to myself, that's a curse. You guys get anything out of this? That wasn't very affirming. I hope you do. I hope I do. You know, it's so great to be part of the body of Christ and to be fellowshipping with one another. There's nothing any greater on this side of heaven than to have a taste of heaven with other individuals in the church of Jesus Christ. So we come, realize it's important to fellowship with one another. And then we exhort one another, which means we encourage one another in our walk with Christ. So much the more, as you see the day approaching, is talking about when Christ is going to come back again. Jesus is coming back, and until he comes, we're going to be fellowshipping together, encouraging one another in this life as we journey together before we go to heaven. Isn't it a great thing that God allows us to have fellowship with one another in his body? Do you enjoy being around other Christians? Do you? I do. It's such a blessing to be around you and to see what God is doing in your life and to get to know you and pray for you and to be part of your life. God gives me that privilege of being a pastor. I get to go into your home at times and fellowship with you, talk with you, share my life with you. You know, sharing this Christian journey is a tremendous blessing. God never designed us to be isolated or to be living on a desert island. We need to be part of the body of Christ, actively fellowshipping with one another. Well, these are the four habits. I hope that you continue to develop them in your walk with Christ, and they will draw you closer to Jesus, which is the goal in all of this. We're not here to make Baptists out of you. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of that? This is not about denomination. It's about a relationship. A relationship with the living God, the God who loved us, the God who died for us, the God who is among us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. But grow in your knowledge and in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust you're growing. We need these habits, don't we? Are these good habits? Oh, they're great habits. May God bless you as you continue to grow in your love for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you that we can instill these habits in our lives. Lord, realizing again that our purpose in all of this is to grow. We want to grow. Our desire is to grow. Lord, may we always have a longing and a passion for your word and for who you are and for what you've done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.